What the heck is the difference between angel investors and venture capitalists, or VCs?
People often mix up angels and VCs, or they say it in one breath, angels and VCs, or VCs and angels. But they're very, very different creatures.
That's David Rose, founder of New York Angels and CEO of Gust.com, a website that connects investors and startups. And if you're wondering where all these inexperienced, fledgling entrepreneurs in the tech world are getting their money from, well, David stepped out from running a conference for angel investors to explain.
Well, the first place you get it is from your own pocket. So you pay out of pocket. And then maybe you borrow money on your credit cards and doing it. And then you try and go to a bank to get money, and the bank says no, because banks don't lend money to people who they're not absolutely sure can pay for it, and your new business isn't paying for it yet. So banks are out. So then you go to your parents, and, well, maybe they shouldn't be investing in your business, but maybe they lend you some money because they love you, so you get what's called a friends and family round of money. But then you go through that, and you still don't have revenues, but the business is growing, and you think it's worth something. So where do you turn to next for money? And that's where angel investors come in. Venture capitalist is a professional money manager who raises a big pool of money from institutions that have a lot of cash, for example, pension funds or insurance companies or university endowments who are sitting on billions of dollars. And so a venture capitalist raises anywhere from $50 million to $1 billion in a big pool, and they go in and try and invest that money in companies that are growing very, very fast so they can make a lot of money and return money back to their investors, taking off a little piece of it for them. In contrast, angel investors are individual people. They're not funds. They're not big institutions. That's you and me, or you and me with appropriate incomes. So it's not just a good cause. And people often mix that up. So, you know, deserving young people say, oh, I'm going to save the whole world, so please give me money. Well, angels don't give anybody money. They invest money to try and make money. And so the one qualification, the one and only qualification legally in the U.S., is you have to be known as what's called an accredited investor. And that's defined by the Securities and Exchange Commission as somebody who either has over $1 million in investable assets, not including the value of their primary residence, or else has had an income of $200,000 a year for at least 2 years. The statistics show that in the U.S., it's a white male who tends to be 57 years old and have an advanced degree and was himself an entrepreneur for over 15 years and has started two or three companies. That is beginning to be expanded. So there are now a number of groups of women angels and minority angels. This is about as risky an investment as you can make, so therefore you better be prepared to lose it.
You say that it's very risky, but I just heard you make a speech where you were saying that if you invest on the stock market, chances are your returns are about 3 or 4%, but that angel investors have usually about 25% of returns. How is that possible when you've just told me it's one of the riskiest ways to invest your money?
Aha! It's a very good question, and with a very simple, straightforward answer, which is any one individual angel investment is about as risky as it is possible to make short of going to Atlantic City. On the other hand, if you do it professionally and responsibly over a long period of time with real discipline, the numbers absolutely work in your favor, because here's how it works. For every 10 companies in which I invest, and I see lots and lots of companies, and I do the best job I can at picking the ones I think will be winners because of the market and the entrepreneur and the financials and everything else. So with the best intentions I have and the hardest work I can do and all my knowledge of 10 companies in which I invest, 5 of them are going to fail. I mean fail totally, 100% kaput, bankrupt, with all of my money gone. Now, of the remaining 5 companies, 2 of them, after, say, 6 years, 5-6 years, are going to return the exact amount of money I put in. Okay, well, that's better than nothing. But they've had the use of my money for 5 or 6 years, and I haven't. That's not very good. So I really lost money because I could have done other things with it during that time. Well, that only leaves 3 companies left. Of those 3 companies, 2 of those will be successes, modest successes. They may return 2 or 3 times the amount of my investment, which is really very good. But remember, they have to make up for all those ones that I lost in there and for the time value of money, what I could have gotten in interest if I had invested somewhere else. And so if you look at that, by the time I've done those 9 companies, say I'm out 6 years that I've done this, I've been holding these companies for 6 years, I've been through 9 companies, and I am now exactly back to where I started. That's not very good, right?
No.
Except that one last company, that last company is a home run. And if that company returns 10, 20, 30, 50 times the amount of money that I put in, when you now take that back and apply it to all the companies in which I invested and all the money I invested, that's where you get an annualized internal rate of return, an IRR, of 25 to 30%.
And to get that 25 to 30%, David Rose has, over the years, personally invested in over 70 early-stage companies.